Want to get to know the people who produce the food that you eat? This is the place. Step this way and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming. Hey everybody, and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming episode 20. I'm your host, Will Evans, and tonight I'm heading up to Northern Cumbria to talk to sheep farmer Rachel Lumley. Rach, how are you?
Hi, good evening. Well, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. I'm better today because the sun's been shining a bit today. It hasn't rained for once. What about with you?
Yeah, don't start on the weather. It's just weird at the moment. It's been so clammy and hot, and then yesterday it was raining and I had my woolly hat on in the morning. It's just gone weird.
Yeah, it's been a really strange year, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. We're just starting growing palm trees and harvesting coconuts before the night.
Yeah, okay. So I asked you on tonight to talk about Love Lamb Week, which starts on the 1st of September. Can you tell us, first of all, what is it?
Well, it is the first seven days in September every year, hopefully now going forward, and it is the ideal time to be promoting British lamb. So that's hopefully what's going to happen. It's kind of in its third year now, which is brilliant, and seems to be growing year on year, and with a much stronger backing year on year, and that's kind of now being driven by definitely the National Sheep Association, which is fantastic, and the levy boards as well. Yeah.
Okay, so how did it initially come about?
So we're back in 2015. We had an awful summer of really horrendous kind of lamb prices, really. Everything was on the floor. Everybody was kind of huffing and puffing, and there was ridiculous amounts of New Zealand lamb on the shelves, purely because that's what the supermarkets were making money on, and they had no other reason kind of for it not to be there, and the farmers' unions didn't seem to be doing anything about it, and nobody could promote British lamb. Well, it's kind of due to the EU legislation, and that's the way that situation is. Mm-hmm. So the initial thing, and kind of a lot of respect to them, was a group of Welsh sheep farmers says, well, why don't we have a no lamb week? The idea was to hold the supermarkets to ransom and not send any lamb in that week, which I thought was, it was doing something, but it was entirely the wrong thing to be doing, really. I kind of thought we needed to be all sticking together and promoting lamb. So that was where British Lamb Week originally was thought, because it was about saying that British lamb is the one that should be on the shelf.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you mentioned there that September is an ideal time. Why is that?
Well, it's the kind of the whole British UK sheep farming cycle. So spring, everything's born in the springtime, kind of anywhere from February through April, May, really. Mm-hmm. And the window seems to be kind of expanding all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, in the public tend to think the time to be eating lamb is Easter, and it's traditionally been promoted in that respect, but that's brilliant for hoggets and kind of your old season lamb coming back through.
Yeah.
But for the season, September, well, anywhere through from August through to October, even into November, the kind of the traditional back end, as everybody in sheep farming calls it, the best time to be eating grass-fed lamb that's had a full summer grazing and it's in its prime peak condition, ready to go, really.
Okay.
So it's about promoting it at the time when it's at its peak.
Yeah, and why is it never been? It seems very strange. You know, it seems quite, when you explain it like that, it seems very obvious. Why has it never been promoted really at that time?
I think traditionally the marketing boards have tried to gear up promotions for this time of year, but I don't think anybody's really taken to explaining why they're doing it.
Mm.
And I think, as with a lot of things with food and farming and what we've got to communicate to everybody out there that's eating and kind of consuming our produce, is that's more what we've got to do, because we all know why we're doing it at certain times of the year. But people that aren't from a farming background, that don't understand why things happen when they do, I'll be able to grasp things a lot better if the little things are explained to them, really.
Absolutely. Okay. And when you had the idea to start this, have you been involved in any kind of marketing or promotional activity before?
Not really. I spent 4 years at Harper, and I'm sure kind of we all do. Yeah, you do the modules, and I worked in fresh produce and did a graduate scheme with a food manufacturing company, and so kind of had that insight into the world of consumer goods and things, which was awesome, but ended up coming back to the farm, and kind of always seemed to be drawn back to sheep farming.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose I've kind of always had an interest in the marketing side of things, but I enjoy chasing sheep about too much. I think that's my problem. And it's good to have a balance.
Yeah.
But I've never been one to be tied down to an office job kind of 100%. That was just the kind of side of things that didn't work for me.
Yeah, okay. And is it a family farm? Is it a family business you're part of?
Yeah, myself and my sister, really, and mum and dad,
Okay. So you had the idea. What was the next step? There's one thing having an idea, but how did you go about implementing it then?
Yeah, well, it was the doing something about it that was the difficult thing, really.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of people at the time that kind of were thinking, well, we need to be promoting it and stuff, but just what you do. And so I started up a Facebook page. That was the initial thing, and it was Love British Lamb, and everybody seemed to identify with it, really.
Yeah.
But it was a good couple of weeks before I actually kind of had a good couple of thousand people following this Facebook page, and I kind of thought, well, God, I'm actually going to have to do something about this and kind of come out from behind the computer a little bit and say, well, it's me that's done it, and can somebody please help me kind of do it properly, because you can only do so much yourself. So that's when I went to Phil Stocker at the NSA and the levy board.
Yeah.
And luckily they backed it 100%.
Okay. So you're obviously asking farmers to get involved, and you started off using Facebook, and then it's obviously you've gone on to Twitter, and anyone listening, if you have a look at Love Lamb Week, you'll see some great posts on there. I guess that's quite an easy way to get it out there, isn't it, with social media. Has that been a big help?
It has been a big help, yes. I think, well, originally it was just Facebook, and I'd actually been told that I should contact this Welsh hill farmer that I'd never heard anything about at that point, a fella called Gareth Wynne-Jones. Gareth was great, and he said, right, if you kind of, you need to get this out there, you need to get on Twitter and get yourself a Twitter account and do that. And that was a massive step, because, it's obviously such a better platform, I guess, isn't it, for being discovered and talking directly to the people that you want to help you and that they kind of can help influence it and help drive it forward as well. So it was a big thank you to Gareth for pushing from that side of things.
But
it's just kind of where it goes from here as well, because the potential for kind of Love Lamb and everybody within industries getting involved and promoting sheep farming, mm-hmm. And what we produce is massive. Not just in the UK, because that's what we're seeing with the Sheep 365 aspect to it. Because that was one thing. It originally started off as Love British Lamb, and you had the two aspects to it. You had the kind of the Sheep 365 and what everybody was up to, which was obviously really popular, and then the Love Lamb side of things, which I'm very clear to make a differentiation between, because the word lamb can be confusing to people somehow. But lamb in my mind is lamb. It's the 42 to 44 plus kilo carcass that produces the leg of lamb. And it's not that cute baby lamb that animal activists try and kind of persuade people that that's what a lamb is. Well, we all know it's not.
And I guess we've all got a part to play in that, haven't we? All of us as farmers.
Definitely. But that's kind of, it seems to have gone down the two branches now, because the Love British Lamb Academy, it would have been quite easy to have just been a big sheep forum, and that was what it was turning into, because there were so many people that were supporting it. So kind of going with the Sheep 365 branch, that's taken that side of it off, and that's what everybody's up to on a daily basis. And I think retweeting hashtags and kind of what everybody's doing individually works really well. And it keeps the hashtags going, and it keeps them kind of popular, which I think with a lot of hashtag campaigns, they're almost missing out in a way. I just discovered now there's actually, with all the Proud of Dairy hashtags just recently, which are absolutely awesome, there is actually a Proud of Dairy account, but in my mind, everybody should be driving that, and that should be retweeting everybody's tweets.
I didn't know that, actually.
I just like literally found that out this afternoon. But I think that's where the campaigns work best, if there's an account that's a hub, so that people can follow, and they get then an automatic feed of what's going on for it.
And I've noticed through sort of following it and looking at your posts on there that you're not only trying to get farmers involved, you're also trying to get chefs and people at the other end of the food industry involved. Is that, I think that's quite an important aspect of it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really crucial aspect of it now, and I think that's where the focus needs to be going forward. I think everybody that's out there farming, it kind of knows that they've got to support and everything, but the crucial bit, it's reaching out to the end consumer at the end of the day, and it's the chef and everybody that's got more of a consumer facing role that are the ones that are more in contact than the actual agricultural industry is. I think it's almost too separate, as it were. And even with Twitter, there's almost an ag Twitter, and then there's the rest of Twitter, and there's some awesome people out there that seem to have kind of been paying an interest and have discovered the ag Twitter, but I think there's kind of very few and far between still.
I'd agree, because I think if you ask people on the street about food, I guess they would, the first thing that would come into their mind would be celebrity chefs rather than farmers, wouldn't it? And I think we need to try and restore that a little bit, don't we?
Yeah, definitely, and open up that kind of dialogue with them, definitely. But it's the same, and I think kind of our industry bodies have a massive responsibility to kind of help bridge that gap as well. And it must be surely something that I guess you'll find with doing these podcasts, because you'll be reaching out to more and more people all the time, I guess. But I don't know, do you find that it's still a predominantly agricultural kind of basis?
I think the majority... It's a really hard thing, I think, to get through to farmers and non-farmers. And when I started with it, I wanted to appeal to both. But it's quite hard, and I'll use Countryfile as the example. I think Countryfile try to appeal to both, and it irritates a lot of farmers, doesn't it? But I think... it's a really fine balance. I mean, I do get a lot of messages from non-farmers, which is always lovely to hear. And they hear that it's changed their mind on a few things, or they didn't know this or they didn't know that. And I think that's great. But I think the vast majority of listeners are still farmers, which is great. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy listening to other farming podcasts and listening to other farmers talk. And you can always learn from other farmers, can't you? But yeah, it's a really difficult thing, isn't it, when you set out to do these things. You have these ideas, but it is very difficult. And I've got a lot of respect for you trying to do this, because just me trying to do this with this little podcast, and I'm not certainly not comparing it to what you're doing, but it is difficult.
I wouldn't compare mine to what you're doing, to be fair.
Well, honestly, I mean, I Googled, because I always do hours of research before these things, and I Googled your name and I Googled Love Lamb Week, and I was really impressed by how much publicity it's got, because there's loads of local newspaper articles and national newspaper articles, and that's not easy to do, is it? I mean, you've worked really hard to get the message out there, and I think that's hugely impressive.
Thank you.
I mean, when I asked you about this podcast, you were quite reluctant, and I know you don't want to talk about yourself. You just wanted to talk about this, and I think you should be commended for that, because you've obviously had to put, as you said, as you alluded to earlier, you kind of have to get out from behind your computer and put your face out there a little bit, don't you? Have you found that quite difficult to do?
It's not difficult to do, but you totally open yourself up to a lot of criticism when you do that.
Yeah, yes, tell me about it.
And that's the thing, that it's not difficult, because you know what you're doing is right.
Yeah.
And you know that the reasons you're doing it for is right.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
But you really do open yourself up to a lot of criticism. And I have this thing where I get slightly emotional about things, and I feel really strongly about them as well, which you might want to edit out.
Not at all.
Or you might not, but it's the reality of it, isn't it? Really, at the end of the day.
I think that was
the thing for me, because like originally one of the first things I had to kind of do was get my photo taken. Well, I hate getting my photo taken in the first instance at all, and get the local kind of paper to put an article in there to kind of start the ball rolling and say, right, this is happening. And as one of the local reporters said to me, she says, well, if it's in the paper, it's happening. And that's the end of that.
Yeah.
So that was a kind of a turning point in itself. But one of the things that I really hated was our local Cumbrian lady. She'd put, well, Rachel's on a one-woman mission to save the industry. Well, it wasn't that at all.
No.
But that was kind of like a leading line in the paper. I thought, well, for goodness sake, that's the last thing I kind of want, really.
Yeah.
But it was in the paper, and it got seen the Lamb Weeks happening, and it did that, tick that box, and that's that job done. So I just decided, well, if things like that are going to happen, you've just got to take it on the chin and just move on, really, and not worry your things like that, because I think everybody that knows me hopefully knows that that's not the case. And we need more people to step up to the plate and bite the bullet and stick their necks out and stand up for agriculture.
Yeah.
Really. And I think the more people, and there genuinely does seem to be so many more people that are prepared to do it.
Yeah.
And across all sectors as well. And I think the more of us start doing decent kind of things, the better and more normal it'll get. And yeah, there won't be anything kind of associated with it, which is got to be a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, I think you should be hugely proud of yourself, because, like you said, it's not easy putting your head over the parapet, and there's always somebody willing to criticise. But as you say, I think the vast majority of people will be hugely thankful to you for being the one to step up. And you know, it's just really going from strength to strength, isn't it? And
I'd really like to give a special mention, because back when it was just a Facebook campaign, and it was kind of a faceless Facebook campaign as well, there was three people in particular: John Newman from Wales, Lily Patterson from Scotland, and Bob Blandon from the South East. Kind of at all. Shown really strong support and contacted the Facebook page, and they were kind of the ones that kept me going when I was very much kind of like nearly ready for throwing in the towel, and I was spending far too much time on it and ringing like all sorts of people trying to get support, and have my parents and sister on my back because I wasn't doing any deep work at home, and that's been a really hard thing. But no, they were great, John, Mamie and Bob. And they've been active kind of for years and years and years through the MSA. And it's people like that. And that's what I think we really need to be doing, is supporting these industry organisations, the National Sheep Association, especially in sheep, because as an organisation, they've got kind of the ability to speak for us. Yeah, I think that's a really, really crucial thing.
Absolutely. Okay, so for people interested then, for any farmers and if they're non-farmers out there, what are you asking people to do? What would you say to non-farmers? What's a good, if you want to support British farming with Love Lamb Week, what's a good thing for them to do?
Just get out there and cook with it. An immense amount of recipes out there on the Simply Beef and Lamb website, Welsh Lamb, Quality Meat Scotland, LMC Northern Ireland, Over the Water. Everybody, there's a huge amount of recipes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And just go and try something different, or try your kind of cook your favourite again, and take a photo and tweet a photo of it, or just share it amongst your friends on Facebook and just say, look, Love Lamb Week, this is what I'm having for my tea.
Yeah.
Anything is obviously fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the more people that you can kind of getting involved and doing that, it's not a difficult thing at all.
No.
But pop down to your local butcher and see whether they're kind of aware of it as well. That's because often all the channels, kind of all the boxes have been ticked, and there's point of sale material and stuff to go out there, but it might not just have reached some people. But I think for me, maybe more so as we're kind of now in the third year, the supermarkets are a massive potential.
Yeah.
Kind of target, really. And that's all I'd say to people, is like, there is this week now, and it's set week, and I suppose essentially sheep farmers have put it out there as the ideal time to promote our lamb. And if the supermarkets aren't getting behind it, well, that says a heck of a lot more about them than it does about us, really.
Have you reached out to the supermarkets? Are they...
Well, I've been informed that they're all very much aware that it's happening.
Yeah.
And through the, I mean, you can only do so much yourself with phone calls.
Of course,
and
yeah.
Kind of getting angry on Twitter and things.
Yeah.
But I have been assured that through all the channels, there's obviously there's people within the union, farmers' unions and the levy boards that are talking with the supermarkets on a weekly basis.
Mm.
But the degree to which they act upon that and take up that, for example, lamb leg steaks, that is the massive focus for this year.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of HDB are leading with through Simply Beef and Lamb. So hopefully people will see adverts popping up. I've been told there's ones in Hello magazine and things like
that. Well, okay.
So there's paid advertising and stuff on
there.
And then obviously the supermarkets have been informed that lamb leg steaks are the things to promote, and there's going to be all this promotional activity on there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to them whether they do it. And with beef and lamb, you'll know there's not so many brands or anything, is there?
No.
It's on supermarket owned labels. So it is up to that buyer and that department as to whether they want to kind of support and go with it. But I think from a consumer, anybody that's I suppose listening to this podcast point of view, if kind of September, really all the way through, not just the 1st of the 7th, if you go into your supermarket and you don't see anything at all about British lamb or any kind of a promotion or anything, just flag it up to the store manager. Just go and have a word with them and say, why not?
Yeah.
Basically, because it should have all filtered through, and it should be coming through from the head office, because we've had the information.
Yeah, okay. Well, it'd be nice if they did support us a bit with that, didn't it? It seems like a very... Because most of the hard work's been done by people such as yourself, it seemed like a very easy way for them to get on board with supporting British agriculture, wouldn't it?
Well, that's it. And it's so much easier to get angry about things and to kind of... You get so much more of a reaction, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to jump up and down about New Zealand lamb on the shelves, and especially on Twitter, like, everybody always gets a good retweet and everything from that. But,
yeah.
But you put a promotion or kind of somebody saying, look, eat this because it's lovely, and it's not just as appealing. It's somehow, I don't know whether it's farming or whether it's just everybody in general, your natural instinct to kind of identify with a complaint enough. But so that's maybe why it's not taken up. But I could quite easily get angry with supermarkets about not promoting it, because they should be.
Yeah, but you're right. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because it is very easy to get angry with them, but it's not really achieving anything, is it? They're not going anywhere, are they? And we've got to try and work with them, haven't we?
Exactly. No, and that whole working together thing as well. But they just need to respect everybody's trying to do something and trying to kind of drive a bit of a positive campaign. And hopefully they'd rather see that than just the angry farmer, which seems to be far too often kind of portrayed. I mean, we're always in the press for being angry about something or protesting. So yeah, it would be good to get a positive story out there somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, just you mentioned cooking lamb there. I mean, we cooked some lamb burgers, Sarah and I, on Saturday night, and they were fantastic. We got the lamb from our local butchers, and just knocked up some burgers, got some nice bread, and they were absolutely fantastic. And lamb burgers seem to me to be I don't know. Are people even aware that you can have Lambergers? It seems like an odd thing when they're so, as you say, there's so many wonderful recipes out there, and people don't seem to know about them. It seems to be very undersold.
I don't think that they're readily available, kind of in going to supermarkets. Mm. You see a lot more in butchers. Local butchers are doing a lot more Lambergers and Costas.
And, because lamb and mint burgers are awesome, incredibly underrated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's even our local ones up at the here in Cumbria, Cranston did a lamb and banana burger as well.
Wow, okay.
Which was great. Yeah. It tasted really, really good.
Yeah.
But no, that's been one of my kind of big things. Is, well, why can't the McDonald's do a lamb burger?
Mm.
But apparently it's not just so simple. It has been looked into in a lot of detail, and I think there's a lot of people at McDonald's and the agri team that would love to do it.
Yeah.
But you get to kind of cross contamination between grills, and there's only two main grills in each branch, and that they can do, for example, they can do sausage slam in the morning to a certain time, and then they both get, so it's not as simple as just putting a lamb burger on the menu for them. But I think for the future there's just so much potential for it, because obviously kind of it tastes brilliant, but then it's the whole sustainability and the kind of the green aspect of it, because you can't get a better sustainable meat than sheep and beef grass fed out there grazing all summer.
Certainly.
It's just a good thing, and that's the whole education aspect.
Yeah. You
need to go. Price for a lot of people is a problem that they have with lamb. And you see, there was a really great clip that was shared by BBC Breakfast about sheep farming and lamb. And price is one element that definitely gets people. And I think very much so the way in which it's slaughtered does as well. And I think that conversation probably needs to be opened up a lot more and not swept under the table at all.
Yeah.
It was kind of in the news last week or the week before that there's going to be CCTV cameras in all abattoirs, and I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think everybody in the industry does, don't they?
Yeah, hopefully. And because there's nothing sinister about it. That if you eat meat, I think everybody needs to be fully aware that it has to happen, but it has to happen in a process. And that needs to be fully accountable.
Absolutely. So moving forward with Love Lamb Week and promoting the product, how far do you hope to take it, Rich? Where do you hope it goes long term?
Well, I think this year is very much kind of the handover year. I've been really impressed. Definitely had conference calls with National Shahana at the NFA and Sean and Sarah at HDB and the NFU as well involved. And then the other levy boards, Quality Meat Scotland, HGT, LMC, Northern Ireland, everybody's doing their own bit. And it's got to a point where they are separately but collectively at the same time working towards that same week, which is awesome. And I think it is possibly the first time that kind of really properly happened, which is fantastic, really. But they've got it to a point now. They definitely don't need me in there. So that's a great thing, because you could quite easily kind of drive yourself around the twist if you're trying to. But at the moment, I'm obviously still doing quite a lot of the social media kind of tweeting and retweeting and stuff, but hopefully we can get it to a point where somebody's accountable for that side of it. But it is seeming to be a kind of Love Lamb Sheep 365 drive, and there's no reason that the support from that can't kind of be outside the UK as well. And there's definitely a lot of sheep farms in Canada, especially there seems to be little pockets of people on Ontario and the Falklands as well, and everybody's sheep farming, everybody's out there, and they're all lambing at a certain time of year, and then they're into shearing, and then it's a kind of prime lamb time.
It's just occurred to me now, but some of the best communicators on social media are sheep farmers, aren't they? There are some
sensational people on Twitter. Kind of community of us,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's... I do think I've definitely found a lot more people through doing the Sheep 365 and allowing everybody to use the hashtag.
Mm.
It definitely seems to have helped a lot. Excuse me. But there's a massive community of sheep farmers out there.
Yeah. I like, is it Nova Scotia Shepherd?
I
think that's fantastic. You follow them and they're losing sheep to bears and things like that. And it's
a different world, isn't it?
It is.
And what I found as well with the links, not the links effect, I was going to say links effect, the links conversations over here up in Kielder Forest, and the wolves that have kind of been trimmed and the potential of being re-released down in Devon.
Mm.
All those conversations, I'm finding that the farmers in Germany and Europe and the ones in America are almost like they think we should be a lot more worried than we are about things like that, and kicking up a lot more of a stink because they're just adamant that you don't want anything like that in this country. If it's not there, don't allow it back in, because they have massive problems. And like you're saying, brown bears attacking, obviously nobody's saying we release brown bears over here, but once they start, that's it.
No, quite agree. Okay, Rich, well, it's been great to hear about it all tonight, and you were very reluctant to come on, and you weren't really sure you wanted to do it, but I'm really glad you have, because it's obviously something you've put your heart and soul into, and it's not easy to bring large groups of people, especially in farming, which is a quite fragmented industry these days. It's really difficult to bring people together, just well done. Well done for everything you've done. I think everyone in the industry owes you a bit of a debt of gratitude, really.
You're going to make me cry again.
I'm sorry, I don't want to make you cry.
Is this the first time you've had anybody in tears on the Rock and Roll podcast?
I think it is, actually, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be a first for sometimes. Oh, dear me. But... No, thank you. I did have questions about the Rock and Roll Farming that I was going to ask you. That I had that on my list to do, but very much well done to you for doing it as well.
Well,
to be honest.
Well, it's as you said, really. As you've mentioned a few times, it's we've got to help each other, haven't we? And I think. The more we can do that, the better off we all will be. Farming—it's really difficult, isn't it? It's really hard. I don't think people quite realise how difficult it is. And as much as we all love it, it's a bloody hard lifestyle at times. And the more we can help each other and give each other a leg up with these things, I think the better off we'll all be. So.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've definitely found from the ag Twitter and everybody on there that uses it. Everybody does have your back as well, which is lovely.
Yeah,
it is. It's a good kind of community of people, and you meet some good people that you can't meet other people per se on other elements of social media.
Yeah.
So, it's brilliant. It really is.
It is. Okay, well, I'm going to end on a less tearful note. I'm going to ask you five quick questions,
okay,
and see how you get on with those. Okay.
Okie dokie.
All right then. So, what's your all-time favourite song?
I'm going to say "Sweet Home Alabama." That goes back to Harper.
I was going to say, I bet that was. When were you at home?
Yeah.
When were you at home?
Many moons ago. It was 2002 to 2006.
Just after me. So I left in 2002.
Sweet Home Alabama, I shall say.
Great choice. If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Ooh. Invisibility, I think. Grey.
Okay, what's your favourite lamb dish?
I don't think you can beat a lamb tagine, to be honest. Just kind of in the winter, autumn through into the winter, when it's kind of you need some good home cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good choice. We've had those with lemon with pomegranate in a tagine. That was gorgeous.
That's an HDB recipe that's kind of filtered its way out through various channels.
Yeah, I recommend anyone looks that up. It was gorgeous. Okay, if you could trade places with anyone on the planet for 24 hours, who would it be?
Oh my god. Well, it's going to have to be Trump related, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't want to change places with Donald Trump, but I'd want to be able to do something to get him out of there before he does some serious damage. I think you know what I mean.
Okay. All right. And lastly, if you had to recommend a farmer or someone involved in agriculture to follow on social media to a non-farmer, who would it be and why?
It would be Richard Brown, I think, just because he comes up with some hilarious, and he's not your traditional ag tweeter either. But I don't even know how you say it. It reads Brownsvilleted.
Brownsville Ted, is it? Brownsville Ted.
But and I'm sure there's probably some reason behind that name that I don't even know or understand as well.
Yeah.
But that's
a good answer. Amazing artist, isn't he?
Amazing artist, yeah. And funny, really funny guy.
Yeah. Well, good answer. All right, Rach. Well, thanks so much for taking the time tonight. I know you're really busy on the build up to Love Lamb Week.
No problem.
Once again, keep up the good work with all that you do for the sheep industry and for British farming as a whole. And wish you every success for Love Lamb Week once again.
And first to the 7th really, of September. Really well done on the British Farming Award nomination as well.
Thank you.
One thing I definitely wanted to say. Because, when does that all come to
It is 19th of October, I think. Thursday, 19th of October. Yes, it will be. Yeah, I don't think for 1 minute I'll win, but it's very nice to go there. And I've never been to anything like that. So, yeah, it'd be pretty cool, I think. It'd be a good night anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. No, best of luck. And I'm sure everybody will be, rooting for you as well.
Thank you. All right, then. So everyone at home, thanks for listening and for the ongoing support and nice comments. Hugely appreciated. As always, you can find the podcast from my Twitter page at Will Penry Evans, Stitcher app, iTunes, or anyone else you get podcasts. If you've got a minute, you're enjoying these, please could you leave me a positive review on iTunes to help grow the podcast. And thank you to everyone who's done that lately. Thanks again. I've been Will Evans. This has been Rock and Roll Farming. Thank you and good night.
I cried, Will. I really made me cry.
I wasn't expecting that. It's a long time since I made a girl cry.